You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too... It's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
We're about to react to what we heard from Dana Brown today. The Astros general manager makes himself available to the media, specifically the Astros flagship, Sean and Brian, once a week. He said a couple of interesting things here. I'm always in the market, Joe, to try and get pitching. We're never not in the market to get pitching, which is interesting that he said that because last year, the Astros said, specifically Dana Brown said, they're not in the market for starting pitching, and then they traded for Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. Do you buy into Dana Brown saying that he's in the market to get pitching?
Yes, I do. And I don't think he should be waiting to get into the market for starting pitching.
You want to hit it now.
I think they need it. Like we saw there's these rumors floating around that the San Diego Padres are talking to the Chicago White Sox about their young lefty, Garrett Crochet. If I was the Astros, I would try to jump on something right now.
Okay.
Like with Javier and Urquidy, that's also why I believe it. This year is so different. Like you have to make a decision to add now. Like you don't know about McCullers and Garcia. Like they have a setback. They don't pitch in 2024. So you can't bank on those two guys and pretend like they're saviors.
Mm-hmm.
They may never get here. So I'm for sure. I believe them because I think they have to.
Yeah, and I don't know who they're going to get because, as I said yesterday, when they said that they're going to be buyers, and I would imagine that Dana Brown probably had a pretty good inkling that both Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy would be announced to have elbow surgeries today. If they knew that, then okay. Well, now we know where they are probably thinking about buying. My fear is that the Astros, and specifically Dana Brown, will try to pitch to us that when Luis Garcia returns, if he does, and when Lance McCullers returns, if he does, that these are their trade deadline acquisitions.
I could definitely see that.
I feel like it's a lock. We should be able to put money on that. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
That would be a funny bet.
That would be a great prop.
Like, do you have to get 80% of the quote correct for it to cash? Maybe you don't have to get, like, every word, but get, like, a majority of it.
Yeah, I think just, like, injured player viewed as trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Big money, yes. Probably like a minus 400.
Yes.
Honestly. It is a heavy
fear. No chance he doesn't do that.
We buy that Dana Brown is looking to get pitching. Mm-hmm. But do we buy this quote from Dana Brown, which does seem to be, I don't know, in contrast to what he said on that front, quote, our rotation is still intact, and it's a playoff rotation. Losing Urquidy and Javier is unfortunate, but we're still in position to make a run, and it's not time to hit the panic button. Couple of layers here. Is this a playoff rotation right now with Justin Verlander, with Framber Valdez, with Ronel Blanco on the hill right now? He's done a pretty good job today, almost through five. With, outside of Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrighetti, who you would assume you would move to the bullpen in the actual playoffs and just have those three as starters. Is this a playoff rotation?
The reason why I say no is because that doesn't work when you get to a seven-man rotation. And a seven-game series, and you need to have four guys in your rotation. I guess, in theory, you could have Arrighetti and Hunter Brown do some kind of split start in game four before you hand it back over to Verlander.
But we saw that one with J.P. France in the ALCS.
Yeah, I think they're an arm short right now. Like, maybe Arrighetti and Hunter Brown will continue to excel this season and really prove it. I think they have the front half of the playoff rotation. But even Blanco, like, what does he look like in 4 months when he's never pitched this many innings in his career? I hesitate to have blind faith.
And Blanco has pitched well. Over the course of Paul asking and Joe answering this question,
gave up a run.
He gave up runs.
Ronel Blanco did, yes.
Yeah, it's 2-0 Cards.
No runs. Great job, Astros offense.
And honestly, that what you just said plays a part of it. This rotation has kind of pitched like a playoff rotation.
They have.
These guys have done it so far, or at least the last few weeks. They have pitched like a playoff rotation. The reason that they have lost games over the stretch, especially thinking about the Mariner series, is that the offense just didn't score any runs. So, I mean, it's the normal Dana Brown sunshine and rainbows, where it's like there's a nugget of truth of like they are pitching like a playoff rotation, but I don't know if they. I mean, they aren't one because this isn't a playoff team right now.
Second part of that Dana Brown quote, it's not time to hit the panic button. I mean, yesterday, even though they won, or at least for now, in the midst of a two-game winning streak, and at least for now have a chance for their second sweep of the year. I mean, a game where Alex Bregman gets hit by a ball and where Kyle Tucker missed because he fouled a ball off of himself and where Spencer Arrighetti gets hit in the calf with a ball, where you also found out that Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy are going to need some sort of elbow injuries. When you're seven games under 500, I'm looking at the panic button. I'm not pressing it, but I'm definitely thinking that the baseball gods are out to get me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't pushed it yet, but my hand's above it.
Yeah, it's out.
Like, it's
looking at it.
We're right here. Like, we're ready. If you're looking at it, if you're listening on the radio, panic button here, hand directly above it.
That's 4 inches, 3 inches?
Yeah, we're about 3 inches away.
Three. You're making it closer and closer. Okay. That's 3 inches?
Less than 3 inches.
That's less than 3 inches.
Just 3 inches.
Now you're just going up and...
Yeah, Sean? I can't... That's way more. That's...
Can you tell me how much 3 inches is?
You keep moving.
Stop. Jeez.
What? Speaking of three, the Cardinals have scored their third run thus far. Is now 3-0. As we're talking about pushing the panic button and the pitching rotation. Ronel Blanco looks healthy.
You done?
Yeah.
You done with your stop. You're doing it too, Sean. Stop.
What?
For those who don't know, they're both like moving their hands up and down. Like, oh, how much is this? Like, come on, stop. Relax. Okay. Do you buy what Dana Brown is selling? He was on the Astros flagship earlier today. Our goal right now is to get back to 500. Do you buy what Dana Brown said?
Yeah,
we all
that's
buy
my goal too.
Hey, that sounds reasonable. That's not an 8-10 game win streak.
No, it's not.
Yeah, just get to 500.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I do miss him talking about the coming 8-game winning streak.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't say like back to 500 by the end of the month.
Yeah,
like try to give like some kind of timeline, some kind of goal.
Yeah.
81-81.
Yeah, that's the goal. It doesn't matter if it takes us to the last game of the season.
If they're 80-81 before the last game of the season, it's all hands on deck to get that 81st win.
We also heard from Dana Brown when it comes to Kyle Tucker's shin. This is always tricky. Do you buy or sell this if the Astros are talking about an injury? Once he starts to feel good walking, he's still sore. Wait, what? Again, I'm reading a transcription. We could potentially get him back this weekend. It's a deep bone bruise. I'm thankful the x-rays were negative. Hopefully this weekend. Dana Brown on Kyle Tucker's shin injury. Will Kyle Tucker be back from his deep bone bruise this weekend?
I'm going to say yes.
Listen, I believe Kyle Tucker is a tougher man than myself. And as someone who's hosting a radio show with a bruised shin himself, do you see this? Look at this boo-boo. It's a little boo-boo. It's very small. It's very small.
How big
is
it?
You guys are doing your size scale on our cameras. So disgusting.
Is it 2 centimeters?
I've been told it's 2 centimeters. Yeah.
At least.
See, now I'm bad. You guys are freaking me down. That's the problem. It's not what you're doing. It's what I see this and I'm acting like a child because I'm 5 years old. I believe he will be back. But I believe he needs to be back. That's the problem. They haven't scored a run today.
There's two reasons why he needs to get back. One, A, you need him. B, they do this all the time. It drives me absolutely insane. Is they leave these guys, you know, Kyle Tucker misses 6 games, and they just play a man short on their roster for 6 days. When you could have just missed an extra 4 days and gone on the 10-day IL. Mm-hmm. Like, it drives me
they
bonkers.
They tie one hand behind their back a lot.
Like they're just like,
especially considering they have Singleton and Abreu, both of whom can only either DH or play first base.
Yep.
And that's why Cabbage came up, and Gray Kessinger, who was apparently on the roster, is here. And Killer Cabbage is in the lineup. He's playing over Chaz McCormick.
Our guy, Joey Loperfido, man needs to be brought back. Joey the Rope, bring him back, okay? Come on, Astros.
He'll be back.
So that is...
He's their other deadline acquisition.
Touche. Well done. That is Are You Down with Dana Brown. We do that every single Wednesday after his interview, talking about the state of the Astros. He does it on a weekly basis and very often says all sorts of things that are political in nature. Sunshiny, rainbowy. He's trying his best. Gallant and George, Joe George to my right, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Coming up next, CJ Stroud is talking that ish. We continue to react to a very chesty CJ Stroud next. What do you have to say about the Indianapolis Colts is something that you want to hear. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Bright side for the Houston Astros. Yiner Diaz just hit a home run for the third straight game. Yiner bomb!
Yiner bombs! Should we start taking Yiner bombs during day games?
Well, what would a Yiner bomb be?
Where's he from?
Because we talked about the Caratini Martini, which would be
really going on a lot of the drinks these days.
I know. Hey. I hope he's okay.
Hey, hey,
we like to throw. Hey, me and him like to throw back some St. Arles. They don't like me as much as they like him. But
is he a beer guy?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Caratini would probably be something with rum. I would assume a martini with rum. And look at that. The Astros with another home run.
I didn't want to spoil it for you. But
cabbage!
Maybe we have some cabbage.
Some cabbage and Yiner bombs.
It's hard to make cabbage good, as the Irish can attest. The Irish, honestly, everybody from those islands, notoriously crap cooks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here comes an Abreu bomb coming up.
Fake news.
Yeah, I don't
buy
that.
Fake news.
I don't buy that for a second. But hey,
you have a wager going on with the Twitch right now.
What's that?
Yeah, I wagered them one of their banned fellow Twitchers today.
You're making a hostage negotiation?
If the Astros sweep the Cardinals, I will unban one of the Twitchers.
Oh.
One of their political prisoners?
Yeah, that's fun.
One
of Jeremy Bram's political prisoners. and then, so if the Astros sweep, they get free. Yiner bombs. Let's see.
It's 3-2 now.
So we see some Jaeger and some. What can we mix anything with Jaeger?
Well, you kind of have to because it's a Yiner bomb. You have to drop it in a beer of some sort.
Let's see this. This they said they're known for this Dominican peanut milk. Should we try that?
I'm making a absolutely disgusted face in response to that.
I mean, they have almond milk, so.
Yes, I feel like it's not.
If you can milk an almond, you can milk a peanut.
Stop.
No, they're big into juices from beets.
Yeah, so these are none of these are appetizing.
Wait, is this Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
The things that you are promoting,
mangoes,
Joe. The things that you are promoting right now sound about as terrible as any offering at a vegan restaurant. That's all about the feng shui inside. You sound like you're someone who would make a nutritional plan for Aaron Rodgers.
How about this?
Some plantains.
And you need to stop. But
Banana Mama is like one of their main cocktail drinks.
Okay, I'm in for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
But
some Jaeger and
some Jaeger.
Jaeger and banana.
Make it a Jaeger bomb.
Okay.
A Yiner bomb. I mean.
So, C.J. Stroud continues to bomb the greater NFL with trash talk.
Mm-hmm.
Stroud was very, very fun on his visit with the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. We have still plenty left to react to that we'll probably do the next couple of days. Specifically, C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell talking about what Tank Dell went through earlier this offseason. But Stroud is not backing down from the Indianapolis Colts, who, of course, played the Houston Texans down to the wire, stopped on a fourth down and short in that key Saturday game where the Houston Texans actually clinched a playoff spot and ultimately the AFC South. There's a podcast called The Trenches. It is the Indianapolis Colts podcast featuring Zaire Franklin and EJ Speed. And we've played on this show before audio from that podcast where the two will compliment CJ Stroud, but also trash talk CJ Stroud. Specifically, there was a moment where Zaire Franklin said that CJ Stroud was talking some trash to him during the offseason. Stroud pushed back saying, "I don't remember that to be real. I think I was just talking on some cool stuff or off the field. I'm not really tripping. I don't think he was exaggerating." So Stroud's not sure if he said what he said, but he's trying to throw a little bit of plausible deniability on top of whatever trash talk he was supposedly saying about the Indianapolis Colts. But he did not like hearing EJ Speed say, quote, "I'm going to mess CJ up for the rest of his career." Here is CJ Stroud's response to that on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
But like my boy EJ Speed, but it's a ton of dudes. It's not just EJ. He with my agent, and I tell him this to his face. I don't even trip it. But like a lot of dudes come to these podcasts, like, "Oh yeah, I'm coming to hit. I'm gonna hit CJ in his face. I'm gonna get him next year." Why don't you do something? Like where I'm from, we say, "Why don't you ain't do something where you was mad at? You was mad right there, my. Do something. Bro. You could have made hella plays, bro. You could have made plays, dog. Bro. You could have shut me up right there, but you didn't.
Bro.
So what make you think you're going to do it now? And bro, if you do, I'm going to come back, bro, for real. I feel like this ain't for no play, bro. I'm on, like, yeah, come on,
got
man.
Got him in that mode.
Got me, yeah, got bro. Me, bro.
This is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the mode I've been waiting to get.
Like, I'm going to slam CJ on his head. Ah, like,
man.
You should have did that then, bro.
Right.
Now we're going to have another opportunity, and we played him first game of the year. Ooh. I'm excited. The Colts. Yeah. We play at their place. It's going to be rocking. Indy hates me already, and I love it. So,
it's playful trash talk. It's fun trash talk. And I like the way that CJ does it. The thing is, there's so few quarterbacks that are willing to engage in this kind of back and forth.
He better win this year.
So you don't like this?
I don't.
Come on, say it. You don't like it. If you're responding like that, you don't like
it. It's so much. He is all about CJ right now.
CJ Stroud loves him some CJ Stroud. Yeah. You said this before.
He's got to win. Like, if you don't win, all of this looks awful.
He'll be held against him, sure.
Yeah, it's just,
it's a long career, though, that's ahead of him.
For sure, but like we give players grief for doing too many HEB commercials when they don't perform well. Like,
they're getting paid for it. I wouldn't.
No, I know, but like, but many, many people do. Like, if an Astros player is not doing well and they're in all these HEB commercials,
he might find this out the hard way, like so many young players, that the more that you talk, the more this can be used against you.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Joel Embiid in the past. We're seeing it to an extent now with Anthony Edwards. When you are at your bottom, wherever that is, this stuff gets thrown back in your face. I still like a guy who does this, especially if this guy happens to be the quarterback of a team that I'm going to be going to 10 games at Energy Stadium.
I mean, I do love the confidence. Like, and first of all, he's right, too. Like, the retroactive, I'm going to get that guy is stupid. Like he's right. You had a chance to get me.
Yeah.
You didn't do it. Like you lost that game in the end. I do think it's kind of nice that there's a, you know, this rivalry kind of brewing a little bit with you know, CJ and the Colts, because it's one thing with the Texans that I think is missing. You know, like there's not that signature game or games during the season that like you're really looking forward to every year. You know, it's not like Yankees Astros. Like those games mean a little bit more to the fans. So I'm kind of hoping that we're heading in this direction that, you know, Colts Texans is going to have meaning. But it's just, it's a lot of talk, man. Like, and just, you gotta back it up.
I agree that backing it up would be optimal, but at the same time, I like that he's doing it. I like that he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
This is no different than how these guys talk on the field. Again, I didn't play the NFL. I'm just saying, on Saturday, when I go play football with those guys, there is so much trash talk being thrown around.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of people, when you play football, like that's just natural. Why not bring it off of the field? What, you got to act like a gentleman? You're an athlete.
No. I don't think he needs to do that. Like, be you. Like, but It's funny, like, just like listening to CJ.
He's authentic.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Well, it was brought up on the Twitch. Junior Broncos is saying CJ is not fake like Justin Fields.
I don't even know what I don't know what that means.
Well, yeah. I mean, from all accounts, like, the way that Fields acts publicly and versus privately, there's a lot of, you know, that slander stuff going on now that he's left the Chicago Bears, but supposedly two totally different guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's. But that's what his teammates say. Like, we don't know. I guess this is what CJ's like behind the scene. Cool.
Yeah, we talked about it before, where when someone asks CJ Stroud a question, like, he doesn't do the what's the right answer, what's the, like, normal quarterback, let me say something.
It's on me. We've got to take things a game at a time, a day at a time, as a team.
Let me give the Russell Wilson, Brock Osweiler answer. It's like, no, CJ Stroud.
Competing.
CJ Stroud doesn't do that. CJ Stroud gives what CJ Stroud thinks every single time. And yeah, when you have a year like he did last year, you're going to be invited on a lot of podcasts in the off season, and he's keeping that same energy at all times. I do agree with Joe, though. It puts a lot of pressure on you, and this is probably something he's been doing his entire life. He probably in high school was talking at all the high school Elite 11 camps and all that stuff, and you would have to play those guys in college, and he backed it up. Then you just got to do it. Like, it just puts pressure on you.
But this happens all game long. I don't see why it's different not during a game.
It's not that it's different when it's not during a game. It's just, like, if you don't
win. It also just normally, like, stays in the game, and now it's going to be public. And so now if the Colts beat the Texans twice, like they were very close to doing last year, now E.J. Speed and Zaire Franklin are going to have a parade on their podcast.
Yeah, they're rightfully going to dunk on you.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt.
You're opening yourself up for a lot of public scorn.
Yeah, but if you're C.J. Stroud and you think you're C.J. Stroud, then, I mean, why would you care? Because you don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's true, too. Like, he shouldn't have any doubt that they're going to just roll the Colts this year. It doesn't mean they will, but you want your quarterback to have the mindset that he can say whatever he wants because they're going to back it up on the field.
Yeah. More from C.J. Stroud. He also talked about an incident in a game against the Carolina Panthers where someone talked some trash to him in the middle of the game. And Stroud, much like he did against that Denver Broncos guy that got in his face in the Texans Broncos game last year, stood on his business. Wait, stood on business. Is that how the kids say it? CJ Stroud.
Stood on business.
He stood on business. Here he is explaining it.
So we playing the Panthers, bro. And it's 4th and 1 on the goal line. We call it a QB sneak. I sneak it in. And mind you, I'm already hot because the Panthers ain't draft me. So I'm like, all right, like, I'm about to show these cats.
Yeah.
And, like, for some reason, we just ain't really, like, we didn't mesh well that day. Like, I only threw for, like, 140 yards. Like, lowest in my career. It was crazy. So, and they was a nothing. But, so I sneak it in. I throw the ball. Bitch, I'm talking to the crowd, going crazy. And then Bruh came, and he was like, CJ, you ain't even like that. I don't even know bro name. You ain't even like that. Safety? You ain't even like that. Yeah, he was a safety.
Number 40 something.
Yeah, 42. And
he was talking crazy.
Titus like, why your side tooth missing? And bruh hold, like, his grill was gold. I was
dying. Did he come back after that?
No, he shut up. He didn't shut down the rest of the game.
So he ran over this safety, knocked his helmet sideways, perhaps knocked his grill out.
I just think it's funny when he's just, like, doesn't even know who he is.
Why would you? I think it was 42.
Yeah. Just every
Tank got the number right. Yeah.
He doesn't need to know every single player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Some dude on the Panthers. Sorry, yes, team.
Now, to go with what you guys were saying a little bit earlier, that number 42 on the Panthers, who won that game?
The Panthers.
Number 42 did.
Number 42 did.
Single-handed.
That is the first time we've ever heard CJ publicly, I think, acknowledge that he's pissed he wasn't drafted by the Panthers.
I think so as well.
Because, like, I didn't hear that part of the quote originally when it was going around on social media, so that kind of, like, stood out to me a little bit.
Your competitor. And
I
mean, especially after this past season. I mean, I know he always talks up Bryce Young when he can and says he's not in the best situation, but I'm sure C.J. Stroud believes he's better than Bryce Young and believed he was better than Bryce Young. All these guys do. It's much like with basketball
players.
He
should just be thanking God that he didn't get drafted by the Panthers.
Yeah, maybe that's why he doesn't
talk about it?
Super public with him, like, man, the Panthers should have drafted me. He looks at the Panthers like, actually, I'm all right. I'm all right going.
And plus, you really only can get away with that like before training camp.
Correct.
Like once you get past, like what Adonai Mitchell wearing the number 10, like cheesy cornball. Like I don't get it, but whatever. You do you. You can be, I guess, Draymond Green. Like when he got to a certain point in his career, you can name like almost every player drafted ahead of him in the second round and in the first round.
Isn't Amon-Ra St. Brown one of those guys too?
Yeah.
I feel like he has a story where he can name like. Not every player, because he's like a fourth round pick.
I think him on his body.
I think that's why he's the number 14. You think he got a tattoo?
Oh, it was the number 14. You're right. There's somebody else who I think like has.
No, there is a tattoo story, but I don't.
We'll figure out that tattoo story on the other
we'll
side.
We'll get to the bottom of.
Some guys are very petty, and some guys are very motivated by anything. I mean, these athletes are all, in a way, psychos, the really successful ones. But it's nice to see CJ Stroud is willing to actually share a little bit of that side of him with us publicly, at least for now. I hope it continues because it's great content. Coming up next, we were introduced to one of the biggest names in Houston sports yesterday, and an old Houston sports star has not learned over the course of his career. You will hear why next. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Almost had a little choking incident while eating food in the commercial break. When you try to scarf the food down as quickly as you can during these commercial breaks, problems can happen.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I've choked on food a couple of times. I've been lucky every single time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a little bit too over-eager when I eat my steaks.
Mm.
Yeah, had a couple of Heimlichs done on me.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Wait, you've had the Heimlich done on you?
More than
once?
Yeah.
Wait.
Wow. I've never even like seen it.
I've never thought about it, really. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Sean, I need to learn it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you need to learn
like,
it?
Like
when
now
you
become I feel like knowing that you've had...
Definitely need to learn it. Yeah.
Three?
Yeah, three at least. Probably more.
Okay, let's get some ages here. Let's get some rough...
Yeah, older than should have happened at least once.
Because, like, you know, like my three-year-old sometimes, like, he'll get really hungry and he'll just keep shoving food in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he doesn't know to, like, finish the first bite before he goes to the second bite. Is that what's happening here, Paul?
No. My problem is I eat too fast, and I sometimes should chew a little more.
Is there issues with, like, talking while you're eating?
Because, like, that I see.
No.
Like, you're just, like, yapping away. And
no. Though in that commercial break, that's exactly what happened. Anyway, we're alive.
Eh, I don't know if I'm ready to move on.
Today is the greatest day of our lives, and I'm just going to ignore completely what Joe said there. I'm just going to completely ignore.
Has it ever happened on a date?
No, thank God.
Okay, all right. Now we're ready to move on.
I mean,
okay.
You're done. If the ladies can be the Heimlich.
I just want to make sure. Like, that was my
last, there's anything,
that
like,
was my last question.
Nothing's going to make it drier than giving you the Heimlich maneuver. I mean, come on.
Paul, setting up a date. One last question.
Do you know the Heimlich?
Just in case.
Listen, this is not the most embarrassing story I've shared on the air today.
It's not.
It's just
but
funny.
This is the one that is more embarrassing to me. Like peeing my pants on the field. I don't mind talking about that one. And you know what?
We just need to find you a good EMT to fall in love with.
Yeah, clearly, like, clearly.
Yeah, some nurse.
Hey,
then like
if
like,
I
find a hot nurse, but also protection.
If I die choking on food, you guys have permission to laugh. After feeling bad at first, you can be like, ah. Classic fall.
I think this. first week, note all serious. Yeah. Second week, we'll be like, we knew it was coming.
We'll be sending this to Old Takes Exposed.
Oh. Listen, I'll let you guys be in on that content first. You know what? I want people to laugh when I'm dead, so have at it, guys.
Sounds good. Thanks, Paul.
Have at it. Anyway, Stephon Diggs. We hope he's laughing at the rest of the NFL, specifically the Buffalo Bills, now that he's a member of the Houston Texans. He finally spoke with us yesterday at a press conference, and he was asked about the idea of chasing rings. Here's what he had to say.
And obviously believe in this team. I believe in the quarterback. You know, those are, you know, unspoken things that we all can assume. But for me, chasing the ring isn't like I came here to chase it. I came here to win. I'm saying that starts with a game won and moving forward. Of course you want a ring. And it sounds good to be like you want a Super Bowl and you want a ring. But it takes a lot of effort and a lot of consistency. For me, I take it in one day at a time. It starts in practice. It starts in the walkthrough. It starts in the meeting room. So for me, winning is always in the forefront of my brain with everything that I do. You know what I'm saying? But it's one thing at a time rather than just jumping the gun. I don't put the carriage before the horse.
Again, that saying's wrong at the end. But I like what he said there. Specifically, Joe, what I like is that he didn't push back when asked if he was ring chasing. He just gave an honest answer. Hey, we're all trying to win. And I'm sure that he's very happy that he was traded to a team where he actually has the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe he had a no-trade clause, and I don't believe that he actually had any input on where he ended up going. I do think, though, especially considering he spoke about his time at the Pro Bowl speaking with C.J. Stroud, I do think that C.J. Stroud got him to buy in before he even came here.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl this year does feel like a long-term, maybe defining moment for the Texans. Like you think back to it, when they came back, one of the things that was Will Anderson, when he first met with the media this offseason, said was how many players were telling him they want to come play for DeMeco. So like you have DeMeco, you have Stroud there. Saquon Barkley, when he was on Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce's podcast, talked about how originally like his plan and goal was to play for the Texans this offseason, and that started with conversations he was having with C.J. Stroud. So, like, they almost traded for Keenan Allen, who C.J. Stroud was throwing touchdowns to in the flag football game before that trade
That's
fell.
That's true.
So, like that, it's like you kind of started to see the end results of the Texans' offseason kind of started there in the Pro Bowl. And, you know, as much kind of grief as I was just giving C.J. about, you know, all the media stuff he's doing, I will say he seems to be one of the most well-liked players in the NFL and one of the players that people want to play with the most.
Yeah, like, for now.
He wants to win with CJ because they believe in CJ.
And he has to keep playing well to keep people feeling that way. But yeah, the guy seems to have, among his peers, very, 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 very high approval ratings. Mm-hmm. Now, someone who I'm not sure has those same approval ratings, who also continues to speak publicly, but I don't think has learned at all, completely in opposition to Stephon Diggs, who I think has learned a little bit from his time at Buffalo and his time in Minnesota, though he wouldn't share what. We heard from James Harden this week. James Harden was asked how he would like to be remembered when his playing days are all said and done.
How do you hope the players and these fans outside, how do you want them to remember you after you finish? What do you want to them think about James Harden's name?
That I was a winner, that I was a teacher, you know what I mean? That I had a different love for the game, you know what I mean? Like, put the money aside, I really enjoy and love the game of basketball and playing it. So whether it's, you know, being with the kids, you know, here, or, you know, when I travel, you know, other places in Europe, when I go to China, I just want, you know, people to understand and understand how much I really love and enjoy the game of basketball.
Okay, well, he plays basketball. I believe that, but you got to win to be a winner.
Yeah, you got to win to be a winner.
Second half, great.
Yeah.
You love basketball? Do you really love something when you show up fat and out of shape for it all the time?
Well.
And, like, you throw it into get off the Rockets, you intentionally play terrible basketball? Like, you really love basketball?
I think you could still love basketball and not love the work that goes into basketball.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of people who probably think to themselves, myself included, oh, if I put in a little more work in high school, I could have played the next level. Mm-hmm. Any sport.
Yeah, if James Harden put in a little bit of work, he would probably be a winner.
Possibly.
Like,
sure, possibly. Again, his style, I wonder if it was ever something that would work in the playoffs. Because the game is a lot different than in the regular season. But the thing I've always wondered about is if he were someone who had better stamina, if that style would work better, because he's such a high-usage player generally.
You don't think Luka starting in the finals tomorrow night is the proof that Harden could have made it to a championship.
But Luka did have Kyrie Irving this entire way, where Harden lost Chris Paul.
And he had Dwight Howard.
Five in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, like...
Westbrook is a stretch.
This Mavs team was not going to make it out of the 2018 Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, probably not.
They probably weren't getting it to Game 7 of that series. Like, the 2018 Rockets were way better than this current Mavs team.
I agree. Just
full stop.
Like, there is circumstance that is part of it, but, like...
Luka has Kyrie right now playing at the level he's playing at, and Harden lost Chris Paul after Game 5. I mean, it really is, to me, it's as simple as that. Like, they worked well together that year, and Paul got hurt, and it sucks. I feel bad for Chris Paul, honestly, who's not a very likable player as it is either, with all the complaining and whining he does.
And I will say, even Chris Paul, to me, despite having the same amount of rings as James Harden, which is zero, I think of Chris Paul as more of a winning basketball player than James Harden.
That's the thing. Hmm. Because of what you were saying too, Joe, maybe I can buy into you loving the game but not putting the work in, but I can't buy into you being a winner if you're not putting in the work off the court.
Yeah. Harden was a better player. Chris Paul is more of a winner.
Yeah, I mean, like if one of the things where it's the Chris Paul era to me is very frustrating, you know, when you talk about the Rockets, it's really what happened as soon as he got dumped. You know, they send him to OKC, and what does he do? He changes his whole life. He becomes a vegan. And then in the bubble, he and the Thunder are pushing the Rockets as far as they can go in the first round of the playoffs with a young Lu Dort and these guys who don't really belong on the court with the Rockets that year. We're like, well, hey, Chris, like, you couldn't have done that when you were here in Houston? Like,
And the reason he got sent to the Thunder was James Harden was sick of him holding him to a high standard.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. It was like, Chris Paul keeps telling me that I need to be better at things. Bleep Chris Paul. Get him out of here.
And Westbrook, I think, even though he's friends with Harden, got annoyed with that. And then, I mean, you know, to talk about other players that got in better shape and started playing better. Nikola Jokic, his body is not the best bod in the world, but his body got better over time. Doncic is still the one where you're like, I don't know how this works, but it works. It really works.
He's getting through it. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the shirt that he wears under his jersey, to me, is akin to, no offense, big guys and gals out there, it's like the person who wears a long sleeve shirt into the pool.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It is very t-shirt in the pool.
Yeah.
It's
the
NBA equivalent.
Now, some people wear the t-shirt in the pool because they're as white as me. Some people do it because of that.
Yeah.
They don't want to get the skin cancer. But for others, it's because they're a little hefty. And Doncic wearing that underneath reminds me, oh, yeah, he could probably be in better shape. But, I mean, there's a chance that he wins the NBA Finals single-handedly by himself, and this thing tips off tomorrow.
What do you think of Jeff Teague? I can't remember if we shared this in the group chat. Jeff Teague said James Harden's the third best shooting guard of all time this week.
Yeah, I remember that. No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because, like, it's Michael, Kobe, and then I guess, like, it's like, is it
Dwayne Wade or James Harden?
The tricky thing is that you can bring statistics into an argument with James Harden, and because of those statistics, you will be able to make your point to somebody who did not watch all of it. We watched all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't like it, I mean, you really didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, James Harden doesn't have the 06 Heat on his resume.
Yeah, because like I think
that's really what it boils down. Like you, like everything else that happens after that for Dwayne Wade, it's like he didn't have the 2000. Like Dwayne Wade, when he was like 24 years old, drug a team to the NBA Finals.
And,
like,
you are.
And this one's weird. But, like, so this list I found here has James fifth. The top three, it goes Michael, Kobe, as it should. Dwayne Wade. This next player is weird because he's like a point guard, but a shooting guard is AI. Because, like, you know, Philly did use him a lot as a shooting guard early on. The championship run or the finals run.
Eric Snow
is your point guard. Iverson's your two. But then, like, later on, you know, AI is playing point guard in Denver, things like that. So, like,
I would take Harden over AI.
Also. I also would. And I love Allen Iverson. Yeah. Like, Harden's top five for sure. But
he's three and saying it, like, flat. Like, yeah, he's number three. That's where I'm like, no, he's four, and there's just a discussion. At the very least, there needs to be the discussion of him versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
It is Golan and George. You just heard Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. Up next, a piping hot take on CJ Stroud on the text line that I think that we have to react to. And garbage time. Stick around.
I'll tell you about my friends at LaBerge Lake Charles. You can bet on the Texans over-under this season if you're feeling as confident as CJ Stroud is in the team this year. If you feel like, you know, week one, CJ Stroud is going to stand on business when they play the Indianapolis Colts. And he's going to show this EJ Franklin guy what's up, and he's going to dominate the Colts. You can bet on that as well. It's already there. 1.5-point favorites in week one. The line's going to change a lot between now and the beginning of the season. So if you don't love it, you can get it later on. At LaBerge, you got 19 betting kiosks. You got TVs all over the place. The TV on the outside. We're hoping to watch the Conor McGregor fight there. The fight's not been canceled yet, but we don't still know what's going on. If it's not, we'll watch the Astros. We'll watch the NBA Finals. Whatever's going on that day in sports, you can watch at LaBerge Lake Charles. Tons of fun, great food, fun casino inside there. One of my favorite parts about LaBerge is inside the sports book. They have $10 to $15 blackjack tables, so you can play blackjack while you're betting on games. It's the place for me to bet. And if you leave Texas and you want to go better in Texas teams, it should be the place where you go as well. Check out LaBerge Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance. An interesting text from Honey Glazed Branham. My hot take. CJ is too Hollywood for Houston. Is from the LA area. When his rookie contract is up, he's going to go to the LA Rams if they don't have a franchise quarterback. Nothing against him, but I get Garrett Cole vibes. Wow, that is a piping, hot, steamy CJ Stroud take, Honey Glazed Branham. One that I don't agree with.
Yeah, no shot. CJ Stroud will be a Houston Texan until at least the end of his second contract.
I believe that will be the case as well. He does have David Mulugeta. David Mulugeta is probably going to be able to get him a no-trade clause, much like he did with Deshaun Watson, that could theoretically give him leverage. Say Stroud wants to sit out and not play, but I don't know. Maybe I'm naive, but I have a hard time seeing CJ Stroud doing that to get his way.
Especially when he's already won a Super Bowl here. Why would he leave?
Whoa.
You don't think CJ Stroud's going to win a Super Bowl in his rookie contract?
I just wanted you to clarify what you said
there. Yeah, CJ Stroud's going to win a Super Bowl in his rookie contract.
I hope.
Joe George.
No, he's going to.
He's going to. Not even a going to, I hope. Okay.
Lock it.
Lock it.
Whoa.
Lock it in.
Damn.
I wish I had a lock soundbite.
One day. We'll just have it on standby.
Yeah, just for the next time you're locking in something.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet, so the first time for everything, you know?
Another texter said CJ's giving some Willie Beeman vibes, and I asked Sean during the commercial break if we could play the, my name is Willie Beeman, and then I realized that the second verse is too dirty to put on.
Yeah, you can't say it.
Yeah.
I was a little worried there that he was going to say, like, we can't play it, but I'm just going to read it. Like,
no.
I'll perform it.
You guys doubt me. You guys doubt me. Have I ever slipped up?
Yes.
Unintentionally?
You choke on your food. Yes. I don't know.
Well, that's different.
You also, one time I mentioned, I forgot what player had a podcast. And I had said, oh yeah, John Wall was on so-and-so's podcast. And you said, who the bleep is so-and-so?
Oh. To be fair, it was a good question.
Battle Red Pill?
Yeah, that one too. I got past the editing phase.
No, that's not my fault. I'm not supposed to do that.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Ooh. Shots have been fired.
Listen, I'm just too lazy sometimes. Anyway, let's wrap things up with a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Former Houston Rocket Chase Buttinger is going to the Olympics. He has secured one of the final spots on the U.S. Olympic beach volleyball roster.
Oh, cool.
When I think of Chase Buttinger, I think of Bill Worrell on the call whenever Buttinger heard it at three. Hey, Bud, let's party.
Mm. Don't remember that one.
The golden era of the Houston Rockets. Okay. The 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014 era. Before we all realized that James Harden wasn't taking them anywhere.
Yeah, back when it was like the Fun Rockets.
The Fun Rockets that had Luis Scola as their best player.
I know, that had no chance. That's the funny thing with the NBA. It's like, oh, this is the fun era. It's like you have zero chance of winning
a championship. No one cared. No one watched. I only watched because I was basically Joel's highlight boy.
Oh, so you're kind of stuck?
I was stuck there every night, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Do you know how old Chase Buttinger is?
I'm going to guess 28.
He was on the 2009 Rockets. Do you want to guess again?
38.
He's 36. Okay. He's That feels pretty old to be a beach volleyball Olympian.
Yeah, honestly, it says maybe it just says more about basketball athletes' ability to play other sports, honestly.
Or maybe it just says
could
it's
he
more about
football?
Beach volleyball.
No. Well, you could play any other sport.
Maybe there's just not a lot of great beach volleyball players.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a woman's sport, not a men's sport.
Whoa.
Well, I'm just saying, there's actually on
Chase.
The West Coast, there is men's high school volleyball, but I think it's only on the West Coast.
It's all over. My buddy played in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I know
it sounds sexist, but...
Are you more likely to watch him play in the Olympics or Jimmer Fredette playing the 3-on-3 basketball Olympics team?
I think equal. If it's on, I'm like, oh, hey...
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not seeking it out.
It's Jimmer.
It's pure luck.
It's Jimmer. I'm probably more likely to watch Jimmer.
I'm probably more likely to watch Chase Buttinger.
One last story. Florida softball went viral for a celebration. They give each other wedgies when they hit home runs.
Good call.
Okay.
Are they winning?
They are. They won yesterday.
Are people trying to cancel them for this?
No.
Oh, good. Good.
They're giving each other wedgies.
Whatever works.
Whatever works. Whatever floats your boat.
Hey, got them to the World Series.
That's all that matters. If it works, it works.
That's true.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, like,
as long as you're not
hazing or...
As long as you're at the Rangers.
Yep, Joe said it.
I was heading the exact same way.
Okay.
As long as it's not Rugnit Odor.
Yeah. We're all thinking it.
Yeah, like, you know.
Do they have a Rugnit Odor?
And on that,
this was consensual wedgies.
Joe George.
I'll see you on Monday.
Have a good little vacation after dropping that bomb in studio. Big thanks to Sean Bates.
3 inches.
Behind the glass. Joe. I am really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.